Well, the word's good.
Amen. Be here with you today and spend Easter with you. I mean that. And we know this is where we get our change.
Amen.
This is where our help comes. You know, praise God for fellowship. Praise God for the cookies or whatever Sue made afterwards. Praise God. Thank you for those things. But man, I'll tell you what, it's the Word of God that changes our lives. Amen? Aren't you glad for the Word this morning? Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Luke chapter 24. While you're turning, I'm going to get a little drink here. Praise God. If you're visiting with us, let me give you a little advertisement about this church. What is this church all about? We're a Bible church. We preach the Bible. You don't need to hear my opinions. You don't need to hear my philosophies. You don't need to hear what I think is right or wrong. The Word of God is what's going to change your life. And I just encourage you, if you stay with us or if you don't, wherever you go, if you're ever watching the preacher on TV, it doesn't matter if they have a worldwide ministry. It doesn't matter if I can tie a tie real nice and stand behind a pulpit. If it isn't the Bible, don't accept it. If it isn't God's Word, you don't want it. Praise God. You want His Word. And so that's what we're all about. We just love people. And we know the Word will change their life. Luke chapter 24. Now, we were in the middle of a series on the parable of the sower. And today was to be our last day on that. Of course, we looked at all the different types of ground or different hearts that the Word falls on. And those were all the bad grounds. And today, we were supposed to look at the good ground. But I was in that service with Reverend D'Amico this past week. And the Holy Spirit just dropped a message in my heart so plain and so clear of what I'm supposed to preach this weekend. And I'll tell you what, people were blessed last night, weren't they? Jeff was with me. He goes out to Olean with me. And anytime the Lord changes something like that, man, really good things happen. And it's, you know, it's kind of like this. I like it this. If y'all had your eyes closed, and I walked by you, took my suit coat off, and dropped it on you, you'd know something happened. You'd know, you'd be able to tell. Well, that's what it was like in that service. It was like it just fell on me, and I knew what I was supposed to preach. And I'll tell you what, you're in the right place at the right time.
Amen.
Whatever you need, you're going to get it today. Praise God. Well, let's pray before we get into the Word and make sure what He wants said is said. Father, we love You. We honor You. We thank You for Your Word this morning. Father, without Your Word, we have nothing. We're just so grateful and so thankful that You didn't leave us here to wander. You didn't leave us here to wonder. You gave us clear direction how to go in Your Word. It's like a roadmap for our life. Father, it leads us to salvation. It leads us to healing. It leads us to being blessed financially. It leads us into victory. It leads us into freedom from fear and worry and anxiety. It leads us into how to raise our children so they can be blessed and serve You. Father, I'm so thankful for Your Word. We don't take it lightly today, Father. And we give You the praise and the glory for Your Word this morning. Father, as I open my mouth to speak it, Lord, I know this, that I am nothing without You. Father, they do not need to hear from me. They need to hear from heaven. So I pray that I would speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank You that I'll speak words from heaven that will speak to every single person's heart here today. It'll hit the bullseye of what everybody's going through, Father God. And I thank You, only You can do that. Father, I don't even know everybody personally in here and what they're going through, but You do. So Father, I thank You, You're speaking to people. And Father, when that happens in the service, I thank You that'll be a sign unto them that You love them. That'll be a sign unto them that You care about them and that You want greater things for them. And Lord, we'll give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we're going to look in Luke chapter 24. And I'm just going to give you this kind of warning. You will walk out of here today feeling like you can go through any brick wall, praise God, that you need to. And if you need to go through one, God will get you through one. And the message of Easter is not a sad message. It's not a sad message. You know, Jesus paid a horrendous price and went through some awful things. Grotesque, just awful, horrible things that He paid the price for us. But it's not a message of sadness, it's a message of victory.
Amen.
And we're going to leave you with some victory today. Praise God. And we'll just see what we're talking about here. But in Luke chapter 24, in verse 1, now, if you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along. We'll have it up on the TV screens for you. We're going to read down through verse 26, and it's going to set the stage for where we're going today. Praise God. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, this is after Jesus had died on the cross, was placed in the tomb. Very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices, which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. Thank God he wasn't there. But he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Now remember, before this, they didn't remember the words. He had told them that this was going to happen. But when it happened and the natural thing set in it and their human intellectual mind set in and they saw Jesus, they saw him dead, they saw him lay there. Day one had gone by. Day two had gone by. No Jesus. They forgot what he had said. That I'm coming back the third day. Praise God. Verse 9, they returned from the sepulcher, and they told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and mother, the Mary of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they didn't believe it. They didn't believe that he had risen again. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering to himself at which was to come to pass. He left there thinking, wow, is this so? Jesus isn't here. The linens that they wrapped him in are here, but he's not. And behold, two of them, verse 13, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So now Jesus shows up with these two people. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. Basically, that means it was kept from them. Their eyes were made blind to the fact that that was Jesus Christ standing right there with them. They didn't know it. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have to one another as you walk and are sad? I don't want you to miss that. Jesus said, as you walk and are sad. It kind of tells us what the demeanor was, what the emotional scenery was during that time, as they were sad, and Jesus is asking, what are you guys talking about here? And verse 18, and one of them answering, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have come to pass in these days? Basically, it must have been big news, Jesus died on the cross, huh? Because they're saying, how do you not know what we're talking about? Are you visiting here? Are you out of town? You know, they didn't have this back then, but basically they're saying to them, listen, it's all over the news. It's all over the newspaper. It's all over the internet. He died. They crucified Jesus, and you don't know what's going on? And he said unto them, what things? I love Jesus. What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God, all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Now notice this, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since it was done. What are they saying? We believed when he said that he was going to come to restore Israel. We believed he was the Messiah. We believed he was going to raise from the dead, but it all went kaput. Where is he? He's not here. It didn't happen. And so they're bummed out. They're down about this. It looked like there was no victory, didn't it? Let me say that again, since nobody wanted to answer me. It looked like there was no victory, didn't it? Amen. Well, I'll make sure you're getting this, because this is going to be pertaining to your life real quick. Yes, and certain women, verse 22, also of our company, made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and had found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. Then Jesus said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into glory? My point is, on the natural realm, the greatest thing that ever happened for us was Jesus dying and coming back from the dead. But it looked like that wasn't happening. It looked like that wasn't the case here. And the people of that time were convinced that it wasn't. They said, we thought he was the one, and we were convinced, but we're kind of thinking that maybe he was a little off, or maybe we misunderstood something, because we saw him dead, and we have not seen him raised from the dead like he said he would. And so naturally, in the natural realm, it looked like there was no victory, didn't it? Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 8. I want to show you what the spiritual realm thought of this. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 8. Actually, start in verse 7, Michelle, for context. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7 says this, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto glory." Now notice this, verse 8. "Which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now this verse has two meanings. It has a natural meaning and it has a spiritual meaning. It's talking about, number one, natural princes or natural people in authority. People like Pontius Pilate, saying that if they would have known who this guy was, if they would have known he was the very Son of God, who was with the Father from the beginning of time, and who came down from heaven, if they would have known, they'd have never done what they did to him. But it also has a second fold. It has a spiritual meaning to it. It has a spiritual meaning because one of the verses in the Bible referring to the devil calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. And we know the devil and the motivation behind the spirit behind what crucified Jesus was the spirit of the devil wanting to destroy him. And 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 calls the devil the god of this world. Authority, a prince, someone in charge. Well, see, here's the thing. We know the end of the story because we have the end of the story, but we know that when Jesus rose again, the Bible says that he was placed far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but that which is to come. So the raising from Jesus from the dead exalted him to a place of victory above every name, above every spiritual being, above every demon, above every devil. And in fact, it says that by him raising from the dead, it put the devil under his feet. So Jesus dying on the cross and raising again put him in a place of authority over the devil. Now, stay with me here. This is what I want you to see. For 3 days, the devil and all the nasty people in the world and the devil and all his demons were having a party. They thought they won. The greatest thing that Jesus had to ever go through, which raising from the dead was the greatest victory, was so hindered for 3 days. For 3 days, it looked like there was no way. For 3 days, we know that the devil would have been rejoicing. Because if the devil would have known by destroying Jesus, it would just cause him to raise from the dead, defeat death, hell, and the grave, and put him in the authority over the devil. The devil would have never done it, but he didn't know. So for 3 days, as Jesus is dead, the devil's having a party. And he's saying, "Oh, we got him. We got him. The Son of God." Remember, the devil was an angel, Lucifer. He knew Jesus in heaven. "We killed the very Son of God. He's dead." For 3 days, they had a party. Praise God. But he didn't know the end, did he? And this is what I want you to see, praise God, is it looked like Jesus had lost. It looked like there was no way. It looked like it was over. But praise God, we know there was victory. And he rose from that grave, praise God, seated at the right hand of the Father forever, forever making intercession for us, living on the inside of us. Glory to God. But this is what I want you to see. So that's great for Jesus. That's wonderful for Jesus. Well, I want to tell you something here today, that there's going to be times, and there might be times right now in your life, and if there's not, there will be times in your life when it looks like victory is gone, when it looks like all is lost. But my point for today's message is to leave you with an attitude and a spirit of never giving up, of never quitting. Because I'm going to show you verses that the Bible says that if you won't quit, that if you'll stay the course, if you'll do what you know to do, you will always, in every situation, come out on top. Financially, physically, relationship-wise, with your children, anything. If you won't quit and you'll do it God's way, you'll win every single time. Amen. But there's times, even, and that's what I'm trying to bring out to you, that even in the greatest victory that was given for us, there was a time and space when it looked in the natural like it was gone. When it, you ever been in a place in your life where there's no hope? Where there's no way you're paying those bills. Where there's no way you're, there's no, the doctor says there's no way. Where the world tells you there's no way. Where your kids are off doing things. It just looks like there's no way. Anyone ever been there before? Am I the only one? We've all been there. But see, Easter is not a message of sadness. Easter's a message of victory because he didn't just rise again for show. He didn't just rise again to look cool. He didn't just rise again so we could have a holiday named after him. Michelle, go to Romans 8 and verse 11. I want to show you this. See, Easter's a story of victory, but it's a story of victory for us, glory to God. Romans 8 and verse 11. Look at this verse. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Now this is what you have to understand. If you don't know, I'll tell you. And if you need the Scriptures after service, I'll sit down with you and go through the Bible. Jesus didn't die just a natural death. Billy Graham said this one time. He said, if it would have just been a natural death, any man could have died a natural death. He died a spiritual death on the cross. All the sins of the world were placed on Him. All the sickness and disease, the Bible says, of the world. All the poverty was placed on Jesus. And He was separated from God. That's why Jesus cried out, why have You forsaken Me? Because God, for the first time in Jesus' life, had turned His back on His Son. Why did He turn His back on His Son? Because Jesus was covered with sin. Covered with the sin of the world. And Jesus needed to pay the price for that. And the Bible says that Jesus went to hell for 3 days. He didn't just die and lay there sleeping. He went to hell and paid the most ultimate penalty for you and I. Aren't you glad? So you don't have to go there. And I'll tell you what, when you hear that story of that gentleman, Reverend Bill Weiss, tell about hell, he makes this statement, and then Reverend D'Amico told me about a vision where the Lord took him to heaven and then took him to hell, and he was there for just a short time, and he begged the Lord to take him out of the vision because hell was such an oppressive place. That Reverend Weiss says, if people would see hell for 5 seconds, their life would change. You tell everybody about the goodness of God. You wouldn't care who thought you were weird. You wouldn't care who thought you were crazy. You wouldn't care about embarrassing yourself. If you had 5 seconds in hell, 5 seconds in hell, it would change everything. And my point is, Jesus spent 3 days down there in the throes of the enemy. In the throes of, and people that have had experiences, that truly have experiences, they all say the same thing because it's the same place. They say hell, there's such hatred there for Jesus. There's such hatred for the Christian. It's such a place of fear and torment and never relents. And Jesus went there for 3 days and paid the price. But if the Spirit that raised Him up, where? Out of that place. All the devil, all the enemy had their hands on Jesus, holding Him in that place. But if that Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, and we know that Spirit did, if that Spirit raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. The Christian has no idea what they're destined to do on this earth. You are destined to be a life dominator. You are destined to go through this life conquering battle after battle after battle after battle. Why? Because you have that same, not a different one, not a lesser one, not one that's kind of like it, the same Spirit that took Jesus out of the depths of hell, out of the pit of hell, and raised Him up to a place of victory, the Bible said, dwells in you. Man. Glory to God. That changes everything.
Amen.
That changes everything. You don't have the spirit of quit in you.
Amen.
You don't have the spirit of I can't do it in you. You don't have the spirit of it's too hard for me. You don't have that in you as a born-again believer.
Right.
You have victory on the inside of you. You have the Almighty God on the inside of you.
Right.
Michelle, if you can go to 1 John 4 and verse 4. Praise God. 1 John 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children. You need to check up on who daddy is. You're of God, little children. You see, Donald Trump's kids, they like being Donald Trump's kids. You know why? There's rights and privileges to being Donald Trump's kids. There's rights and privileges to being a child of the King. Praise God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. If you study what that overcome then is in the verses before, it's talking about the devil and everything the devil can throw at you. You have overcome them. Why have you overcome them? Because greater is He that's in you. People say, oh, I just want God to draw closer to me. I just want more of God. How much closer can He get? He's on the inside of you. Now, maybe you don't have that revelation. Maybe you're not living in the light of that, but He's so near. And He says, lo, I'm with you always until the end of the earth.
Praise
dwelling on the inside of you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. This is just the intro. Praise God. I usually preach to about 11:15, 11:20. What if we happen to go 10 minutes over? Who cares, right? Praise the Lord. The ham will just cook longer. The turkey will just cook longer. Praise God. It's good though. Now notice this in this verse. It says, he that spared not his own son for you, but delivered him up for us all, How shall he not with him freely give us how many things? All things. What are the all things? Anything you need for your life. You need finances to do what you need to do? That's an all thing. You need health? That's an all thing. You need peace? You need victory? You need answers? You need wisdom? That's an all thing. He said, I'll freely give it to you. Freely give it to you. God's not withholding from you, people. God is freely doling these things out. He just needs us to cooperate with Him. But this verse is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Because basically this verse is saying, wake up, body of Christ. Wake up, Christians. Knowing that God sent Jesus for me, why would I ever have a hard time believing that God wants to pay my bills? He already gave me His Son. You think paying my bills is greater than Him giving me my Son? Absolutely doesn't even compare. It doesn't even come close. So why do I have a problem thinking that He's going to be able... It's like Donald Trump coming for his kid, and the kid has a $2 million debt or something, and Donald Trump pays it off, and then the kid has a $50 debt that for some reason he can't pay it. Oh, I'm just so afraid that Daddy's not going to pay us. He already gave you $2 million. 50 bucks is probably not a problem. He already gave you Jesus. Your bills are nothing. He already gave you Jesus. The problems in your body to Him are so minor. He made your body. He knows how it works. Glory to God. And because of Jesus, I know there always will be an answer to lack. There'll always be an answer to sickness. There'll always be an answer to fear. There'll always be an answer to depression. Always. Praise God. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. And this is the meat of the message, what I'm getting to here. For those of you that are visiting, you know, sometimes I've heard churches that go 3-4 hours, and I like to tell people when we have visitors, you know, I don't try to preach the everlasting gospel in one sitting. I've learned that the heart can only endure, or can only receive as much as the hind end can endure. So we try not to preach the whole gospel, so don't worry about that. We're not going to be here all day. I like to tell people that because then it helps people to just kind of get comfortable and receive. But 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, this is what I want you to see now. You don't have quit in you. You don't have give up in you. You don't have it's too hard in you. You don't have, you. Now you might feel that way. And your mind might be programmed that way, but that's not what's inside you. That spirit, you have the spirit of, it don't matter what's coming my way, I will win. And I'm going to show you those verses too. And that's why I said you're going to walk out of here feeling such victory.
Praise God.
But this is what I want you to understand. Is God endeavors in your Christian walk to not keep you neutral. God endeavors in your Christian walk for you to not go backwards. God intends for you to go forward. In your spiritual life, He wants you to grow. He wants you to have more of Him. He wants you to have more revelation, more knowledge of Him. He doesn't want you to stay the same place financially. He wants you to get more blessed so you can be a bigger blessing. That's the purpose of being blessed, to be a blessing. He doesn't want you to stay the same place in life. In fact, the Bible says He takes you from glory to glory to glory. He never goes backwards. He never keeps you still. He always wants you going forward. He always wants you doing better. But this is what I want you to see. If you're going to lay hold of better things in your life, if you're going to lay hold for more in your life, more spiritually, more revelation of Him, more knowledge of Him, a better understanding of Him, a greater place, maybe if you're a business owner and you want to take your business, you know, you have a heart to want to receive from God so you can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. We have business owners that are just blessed and they just sow into the kingdom. And if they just keep, if people have that heart to do that, and if even individual people have that heart, Lord, bless me, I'll be a blessing. You ain't see how much will start coming in. But if you want to go to a higher place financially in your business, higher place personally, you want to go to a better place in your family, higher places, more places of advancement, you have to understand that's God's heart too. But it will not be met without opposition.
Right.
Anytime you go to step into more, anytime you go into step into higher, anytime you go into step into better, the devil's going to be right there pushing back on you. And you need to know that. Because so many times God tries to bring people into more. And all of a sudden, hell will break loose in their life. I'll give you an example. There's a lot of times people will come to church for the first time, get born again, so excited about this new life with God. Well, I get to go to heaven. I have a heavenly Father to protect me and provide for me and take care of my children and all these wonderful things that God offers. And then hell will break loose in their life. I mean, things will just start happening that come out of the blue. What's the purpose of that? The devil's trying to kick you out of what you're going into. People that God will lead them to do business things, and they'll step up and do it. And then, boom, financial tests and trials will just rise up. Why? The devil's trying to keep you out. But see, when you recognize what that is, and you recognize that there's something pushing you. And then you have the knowledge and the revelation that it don't matter what's pushing against me. If I just stick to it, I will win. You won't quit.
That's right.
The only way you lose is if you quit.
That's right. Yeah. That's good.
Pastor Kenneth Hagin, Brother Hagin's son, who pastors the church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rhema Bible Church. When I was there, he had a sermon. And it was entitled this, and it's one of his most popular ones. And it's a motto I live by, and you ought to live by it too. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. Because the Bible says you can't be defeated, and if you quit, that's the only way you will be. And that sermon, I'll tell you, when he preached that, man, I was ready to do some dancing. I had chills up. I said, wow, that's right, I can't be defeated. And if I just don't quit, if I could get you to have a spirit of not quitting, a spirit of pressing forward, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, you look at the Word of God. You stay in the Word of God. I heard Brother Hagin say this. You know, remember the walls of Jericho?
Yeah.
That was the first battle that the children of Israel were going to take to get the Promised Land. The Lord told Joshua, be courageous, go in there, get this battle. And he said, 6 days, walk around the walls of Jericho one time. And on the seventh day, walk around the city seven times. And when you're done, shout. And when you're done, blow the ram's horn.
That's right.
And they did that, and the walls came tumbling down. It's easy to shout when the walls are up.
Right.
It's easy to shout, but they shouted when the walls, or it's easy to shout when the walls are down, is what I'm saying. It's easy to shout when it all looks good. But they shouted when the walls were up. But this is what Brother Hagin said, a minister that I follow. He said, stop looking at the walls. See, the walls are causing you to be fearful. The walls are causing you to quit. Stop looking at the walls. Start looking at what the Bible says about the walls and start thanking God that what the Bible says about the walls is going to happen.
Yeah, right.
What does that mean, Pastor Mike? You got bills stacked to the ceiling. You can't pay them. You don't have enough. Your paycheck's not enough to pay them. And that wall is huge. And it's staring down at you and it's yelling at you. You're not going to pay me. Well, the Bible says, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches, not my paycheck. God's a big God. He's not limited by my paycheck. He says, I'll meet all your needs. Instead of looking at the wall, start looking at that verse in Philippians 4:19 and start thinking, Lord, I thank you that that verse says about that wall that you will meet all my needs, and that wall's coming down. I praise you for it. Yeah. Stop looking at the walls. Stop looking at the walls. But if we're going to go into more, you need to know opposition is going to be waiting for you.
Right.
It's going to be there pushing you. And 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9 tells us this. It says, a great door and effectual. One translation that would help you understand it says, a great door of opportunity is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries.
Oh, yeah.
God trying to bring him into more. But there's adversaries there to push him out. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians. And you don't have to turn there if it takes you a little while to get there, but you can look up on the screen or you can just write it down, whatever you want to do. But 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18 says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul. I love how he points out, he's not bragging about himself, but when he says, even I, Paul, what he's saying is the entire being of who I am, well, who are the entire being of who Paul was? Only the greatest apostle to ever live. Only the one that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, who had revelation directly given to him by Jesus Christ. He didn't go to any school. He didn't go get taught by any man, he said. He received it all, the epistles, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was the most greatly used man on the face of the planet. So when he says, even I, Paul, once and again wanted to come to you, but was hindered. Satan hindered us. Didn't say Satan stopped him. Didn't say Satan defeated him. It says Satan hindered him.
That's right.
Satan will try to hinder you from what you're going to. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Praise God. So many people. It's funny because the second thing that I told him, out of the three that I told that minister about, the three things that I see, is I'm amazed at how surprised and off guard people are when all of a sudden they hear ding dong on their doorbell and they open the door and there's hell staring them in the face.
Yeah.
And how people that have been taught faith for years, for week after week, this is the training ground.
Yeah.
This is where you're getting equipped for when you go out in the world and things come your way, and we're teaching you the principles of faith, teaching you how to defeat the devil. And I'm amazed and how when hell shows up at people's front door, people forget everything they've been taught.
Right.
People forget everything they've been trained.
Right.
The smile turns to sadness. The shout turns to quiet.
Yep.
The good posture walk turns into a droopy, sad Eeyore look. I'm amazed at people. And you need to understand that the devil, if you want to go into more, he's going to push and push and push on you. And you can't let that be a surprise. You can't let that be a big, oh my gosh, it takes me off guard. No, that's when you use, that's when everything, every bit of ammo, every bit of armor we've been given, that's when you pull it all out and you use it. Amen? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Praise God. I want to show you something that will help you. He says, brethren, excuse me, I count not myself to apprehended. This is Paul talking. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now notice this. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. Well, if you know anything about God, you know the things that are before are wonderful. They're glorious for your life. There's way more ahead of you than there is behind you. Don't let the devil tell you you're done. Don't let the devil tell you it's too late. Don't let the devil tell you about this mistake, that mistake. The past is the past. Tomorrow doesn't exist in the, or yesterday doesn't exist in the eyes of God. But notice what he said, reaching forth. To me, that denotes a struggle, a reaching, a grasping for something. And then verse 14, notice what he says. I press. He didn't say I just fall into it casually.
Right. Come on.
Like a bed of roses. Oh, this is sweet. I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you're going to get all that God has for you, there's going to be a pressing. There's going to be a reaching. There's going to have to be a struggle. Paul told Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
The faith is not, like I said, the bed of roses and just twinkling around like a ballerina. There's a fight involved.
Yeah.
But praise God, the Bible says it's a good fight. You know why it's a good fight? Because when you fight the fight of faith, you always win.
Amen.
That's a good fight.
Yeah.
When you walk out the winner. But pressing. Why are you pressing? Because there's something being pressed against you. All hell. All the pressures of the world.
Yeah.
And the Bible says if you're going to get what God has for you, if you're going to get the blessings of God, you're going to have to be somebody that has some press in you. You're going to have to be somebody that has some reach in you. Somebody that has some no quit in you.
Right.
I'll just say, it's interesting. People think that the promises of God will fall on their lap like a ripe cherry off a cherry tree. Just boom, falls right into my lap. Isn't it interesting? When God told the children of Israel, he said, I've given you a promised land.
Yeah.
It's yours.
That's right.
But when they went and looked at the promised land, there were walled cities. There were people already inhabited the land. The Bible said there were giants in the land. Giants so much that the people, the children of Israel, felt like grasshoppers in their sight.
Yeah.
God didn't just say, waltz in, just sit down, set up camp, and it'll fall on you. No, he told them, he said, over and over, he said, go in and possess the land. Go in and possess the land. And he told Joshua, he said, only be very strong and courageous.
Right.
You don't have to be strong and courageous if you're just waltzing into something. No, God was saying, listen, the promise is yours, but you're going to have to do something about it.
Right.
You're going to have some fight about you. You're going to have some courage about you. You're going to have some strength about you. And I'll tell you what, the body of Christ, unfortunately, has just become a bunch, not all the way around, and not this church, of course.
Oh,
we're hitting the mark. But I've become a bunch of quitters.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too hard.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say when the crown jammed on his head, this is too hard, I want out.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad when the nails were blasted into his hands, he'd say, oh, I'm not into this.
Right.
Hanging there, gasping for air, getting hit with the cat of nine tails on his back, looking like hamburger meat. The Bible says he didn't even look like a human being. If you saw The Passion of the Christ, you know that was a very hard movie to watch, and it was gruesome, but it didn't even cover the half of what he went through. Because when he was on the cross in The Passion of the Christ, I could still tell that was a human. And Isaiah said he didn't even look like a human anymore. That's how badly beaten and bruised and from the sickness and disease that were placed on his body. Aren't you glad he didn't say, you know what, I want out of this? Aren't you glad that when he went to hell, he didn't say, you know what, this is terrible. No, he stayed it because he knew if I just stay the course, I will be victorious. Praise God. Listen to this next statement, and it goes along with these verses. Any path that you are on could be for your children, could be for your family, could be for your business, could be personal walk with God. Any path that you are on that doesn't have obstacles or challenges is a path that leads to nowhere.
Right.
Let me say it again. Any path that you are on that is not laced with challenges and obstacles is a path that will lead you nowhere. Why? The people that are doing nothing for God, They're already doing the devil's work. He don't have to waste his time putting things in front of you. And you want to know, just you need to become like a sadistic little preacher like I am. What do I mean by that? I've gotten to the point where I know that I'll never lose. And I'll show you these verses before we leave today that promise you victory in everything. And I've gotten those so downloaded in my spirit. And I am so convinced at the Word of God. I don't care what it looks like in the natural. I know if I don't quit, I will always win. I will always be victorious. I will always be better than I was before I went into it. I've gotten to the point now that when I hear ding dong and I look through the window and I see hell, I get so fired up. I'm talking about excited. When biggest financial tests and trials come, they used to get me moping. And, oh, God, how's it going to happen? I do a dance in my house. And I'm not kidding, man. I'm dancing like this. I'm kicking. I'm doing everything. Why? Because I know the greatest tests and trials that come my way, the hotter they are, the harder they are, the more glory that waits for me on the other side. Why does the devil kick up so much smoke? Why does the devil kick up so much dust and so much pressure on you? He's trying to keep you out of something wonderful. And so I just had my little twisted little mind that says, the harder the test, bring it on, devil. The hotter it gets, the more rejoicing I do, because I know, wow, something's waiting for me. Something's waiting for me. Praise God. I'll just say it this way. If you're a person, you don't have to like pressure. You don't have to invite pressure. You don't have to, you know, be super thrilled about it. But if you're a person that's not comfortable with pressure, you're going to be a person who's not going to experience much from God. Because the rest of your life, if you're going to increase in things in any area of your life, there's always going to be pressure to keep you out of it. The devil hates you. He says his job description is to steal, kill, and destroy from you. He hates your guts. Anything that you go to do for God, advance your life, to better your life, better your children, better your family, there's always going to be opposition there.
Right.
That should get you excited to say, you know what? He's scared about what's on the other side of this. The ones the devil to mess with the most are the ones he's scared of the most. Right. It's true. It's true. You know, and I'm going to get to these scriptures and then we'll close. I told this story, but I'll tell it again. I was working for the Walkers, actually, one summer. And it was a day I was mowing the lawn all day long. And I had got to the part where I was in front of the house, which has been turned into the offices now for the farm. And right in front of the house, I was driving the mower. I was just listening to the praise and worship. Wasn't thinking about anything. Wasn't saying anything. Wasn't even singing along. Wasn't thinking about a certain person. Wasn't praying. I had a vision right there. Right there and then I saw it in my spirit. And I saw a family member climbing a mountain. And she was almost to the top of the mountain, but she couldn't see the top of the mountain. And it had been a struggle, and it had been hard because of this mountain. It was so big and so steep. And she was about to just one more lunge hit the top. In the spirit, I knew she's ready to quit. She's ready to give up. But I also knew in my spirit there was something so glorious at the top that far outweighed any of the challenges. And so I knew what I was supposed to do. I stopped the lawnmower right there, took off my earphones, and I called her. And I said, I don't know what you're going through, but this is what the Lord showed me. And I said, you're going through something so hard right now. You're going through a test that's so hard. And let me just tell you, you're about ready to quit, aren't you? And when I said that, I could hear her on the other end start weeping. When God reads people's mail like that, it's awesome because they know God cares. God's interested in my life. When He speaks to you in a service, you're like, He said that and He's talking right to me. Don't mistake what that is. That's God speaking to you. That's how God does these things. And I called her and I told her that. She started weeping. I said, you don't want to quit. I said, you're close. I know it's been hard. I know it's been a struggle, but don't you quit. It's glorious. And I started pumping her up with scriptures. She got so excited after that. She didn't quit and she walked into that thing. And her life has never been the same.
Praise God.
Yeah. When you understand that, man, through this door of fire, through this door of pressure, through this door of heartache, through this door of sorrow, there's glory on the other side, a better place for me. Man, you will plow through that stuff.
Yeah.
But you can't do it unless God gave you the okay to do it. Now, I'm going to leave you with scripture. This is what I encourage you to do. Now, we do have live streams, so you can go back and look at the archives, but I sometimes don't like to trust in technology, as we've seen quite a bit here. I encourage you, if you're going to go back and look at it later, listen, no judgment, if nobody's writing anything down, we know you can do that, maybe you have a great memory, but I'm encouraging you to write these verses down, and get these verses in your heart, because when hell shows up and starts pushing on you, you need to know that it's okay. You need to know it looks bad, it looks hard, it looks tough, it looks impossible. But you got to know, I'm okay and I got this thing. Amen? There are times when it will look impossible. But aren't you glad the God of the impossible is living on the inside of your belly? He's in you. He is the God of the impossible. Praise God. Hallelujah. People think, man, I'm desperate because I'm in a place of needing a miracle. That's an awesome place to be because there's only one person that can provide a miracle. It's God. It's God. And He's for you. Okay, so let's look at a few verses and then we'll close this thing up. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Excuse me. Isaiah 41, 10. Praise God. Now I'm just going to go through these. If you're flipping, I'm not going to wait for you. You can just look up on the screen for time's sake. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will," he said, "I will," it's not a might, it's going to happen. "I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." A verse to tag team with that one is Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Again, I'm not going to wait for you. You can just write them down or look up on the screen. Hebrews 13, 5. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have." Now get this. Oh, Christians don't know this because if they did, it'd be different. He said, "I will never," everybody say never.
Never.
"I will never, never, never leave you or forsake you." What does that mean? When the bills come in and they're stacked to the ceiling, God is with you. When the doctor's report comes in or the symptoms in your body are acting up, God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you, is with you. When you're looking at the checkbook, you're looking at your situation, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, is with you. How would that change our attitude if we actually had a revelation that God Almighty, the God of the universe who loved us so much He gave us Jesus, is always with us? How would that change your situation? I tell you, it'd turn that frown upside down.
Amen.
It'd turn that pout into a shout.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
That's good.
It would.
Yeah.
It'd start shouting and rejoicing and believing. You got the champ with you.
Praise God.
He already proved that. He don't lose.
Oh.
He don't lose ever.
Oh.
Glory to God. Oh, I could just shout and run through that wall. And wouldn't y'all just love to see it? That would be a tough one because on the other side of that one, there's brick. And so, might have to have a healing service after that one unless something supernatural happened. I think I'll just not do it. Praise God. Romans 8 and verse 37. Praise God. Oh, we're not hearing about this right now because we're in a corporate setting where there's faith and we're all together believers. It's Easter Sunday. It's wonderful. But when you're all alone, do you get a phone call?
Yeah.
Or you're all alone and you check the mailbox and something comes in unexpected.
Come on.
Yeah. It's so funny. Reverend Chris D'Amico said, "Oh, you wouldn't believe how people just get so down when their toaster breaks. Or, oh, my washing machine, or my this happened to this," and they just lose. It's like everything's, it's like, are you serious? That's what robbed you of your peace and robbed you of your faith? Like, come on, people. God is good. God is big. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's not concerned with your toaster. He'll get you a new one. Praise God. Romans 8 and verse 37. Oh, don't you love it?
Yes.
He says, "No or nay, and all these things were more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Now, let me ask you a question. Do you like that the Bible tells you that you're more than a conqueror?
Yes.
Do you like that, having that title?
Oh, yes.
I'll tell you, it's better than being the conquered.
Yes.
It's better than being the one that's defeated. And the Bible says you're... So we would all agree, right?
Yes.
I'm setting you up for something.
Oh.
But we would all agree that we like the title of having more than conquered. I'm telling you, sign me up. I want that title as well.
Amen.
Then stop complaining when you have something to conquer.
Yeah, that's good.
Stop complaining when something comes your way that you actually have to be more than a conqueror because you like being a more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
You can't be more than a conqueror until you have something to conquer.
Right.
So stop complaining, stop whining about it, and just do what the title says and start conquering that thing.
Yeah.
Amen? Told you I was setting you up for something. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Now notice this, what this verse says. See, this is where I love when people say to me, Pastor, you're so arrogant. You're so ignorant to the fact of what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. And for you to stand up there and tell me that I can win in this and that I can be victorious in this, you just haven't been around long enough. You're only 35. You don't know what you're saying. I know what the Word says, and that's all I need to know. See, you're too busy looking at your wall. See, your wall is bigger than your God. The wall in your life has become bigger than your God. Your God needs to be bigger than your wall. But this is why I can tell you, it don't matter what you're facing. Now, thanks be unto God, which, what's that next word?
Always.
What does that mean?
All the time.
Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The Bible says that when you do it God's way, when you stick on God's plan, when you have that no quit, you always will triumph. I'm not here to tell, I'm not telling you it doesn't look bad. I'm not telling you it doesn't feel bad. I'm not telling you that in the natural it looks like, what? Well, okay, sound the alarm. It looks impossible. I'm just telling you the Word has an answer for everything you're going through. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. I have a couple more and then we're done. There's no temptation. That word temptation is test, trial, and tribulation that has taken you but is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you or suffer you to be tempted or tested, tried, and with tribulations above what you are able, but will with the temptation, the test, the trial, the tribulation, He'll make a way for you to escape it that you may be able to bear it. You know what that verse tells me? No matter what I'm going through, I never have to chalk it up that I'm done. This one's got me. He said there's no test or trial that He will not make a way for you to get out of it. That means no matter how impossible it is, I know impossibility is just a lie. It's just a lie. And you don't even need to turn to Michelle. I'm just going to read this. Philippians 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 8 and verse 31 says, if our God be for us, who could be against us? You know what the answer to that is? Nobody. You could say it this way. If our God be for us, what could be against us? You know what the answer to that is? Nothing. He's God. He's awesome. Praise God. And 1 John 4:4 says, greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. Now, if you didn't write those down, you don't have photographic memory, I encourage you to go back and look. Because let me tell you what. Hell will show up at your front door. And when hell shows up at my front door, you know what I'm not doing? Oh my God, what'd the minister say? I think he said something about me being victorious. I'll tell you what, the devil will eat your lunch. Yeah. Download the stuff in your spirit. So when it shows up, you say, you know what? This looks bad, Mr. Devil. And this looks scary and it feels bad. But I just want you to know what the Word says. The Word says I can do all things. The Word says God is for me. The Word says I always win. The Word says greater is He that is in me. The Word says no test or trial will ever overtake me. The Word says this. The Word says that. And you know what the devil will do? He'll flee from you. Because if you do what Jesus did, you'll get what Jesus got. When the devil brought test and trial to Jesus, Jesus responded with the Word of God. James 4, 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do you resist the devil? The Word of God. Yeah. So I encourage you to get this down in your heart. Listen, you're a champion. You might not know this, but you're a champion. You have what it takes to be victorious over anything you're going through. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your Word. Thank you for that encouragement this morning, Father. We're just so grateful. So thankful, Father, for what you've done for us, for what you've given to us. Father, we love you today. We're just in awe of you and in honor of you. And we thank you, Lord, that we never have to lose. And Lord, I definitely don't want to sound like someone that's not compassionate or not sympathetic with people. I just need people to know that no matter how dark it looks, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad it sounds, no matter how bad it feels, you always are the answer. Father, help us to know that. Help our eyes to be open to that, Father. Because Lord, the only way we don't come out on top is if we quit. The only way, Father, and we don't have quit in us. We have Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is on the inside of us. The great I Am, praise God. We have the victorious one, the greater one on the inside of us. Father, we just love you this morning. If I could ask a favor of everybody in this service to bow your heads and to close your eyes, I just ask nobody looking around for everybody else's sake. And I want everybody to ask yourself this question today. Ask yourself this inside your head. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? You say, you know, that's something I don't want to think about. Well, you know, if you check the obituaries, every single day there's a whole lot of people that didn't think they'd have to think of that question. But they did have to think of that question because it became a reality. It's a real thing. So ask yourself now, if today were my last day on Earth, would I go to heaven? If the answer isn't a 100% yes, I'm here to offer you some good news. Jesus said that whosoever would call on his name would be saved. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, I don't care what you did for 50 years up until this point. I don't care what you did before you came in here. There's no amount of bad things that you've done, or there's not one single bad act that you've ever done in your life that will keep you from heaven. And there's not enough good things that you've done that can get you in. Jesus is the measuring line. And if you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed, you can say, you know what, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Well, let me just say this. If you believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, you're a candidate or you're qualified for salvation. If you just believe and confess that, the Bible says he'll come into your heart. Now, my heart here is never, I was kind of a shy person, so the way I do my salvation calls here is I'm not going to call you up to the front. I'm not going to have you stand up. You're not going to have to say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This is between you, God, and me. I want to know who I'm praying for. But if you're here and you could say, Pastor, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Listen, don't mess with eternity. Get off the fence of eternity. It's a free gift. Doesn't mean you have to give money to anything. Doesn't mean you have to join this church. It just means you believe in Jesus. You want to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And you want to know that you have eternity forever in your heart. So if you're here and you want to receive Jesus, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around, would you just lift your hand real quick if you want to receive Jesus? And you can put it right down. Nobody's here to embarrass you. It's between you and God. Is there anyone at all in this service? You want to know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven. Would you just slip your hand up and you can put it right back down after I see it? I see that hand. You can put that hand down. Is there anybody else? Just lift your hand nice and high. I tell you, if you don't know, my goodness, get in. Get on board. Anybody else want to receive Jesus? Well, we had one hand, so I trust that we're all walking in the light of Jesus and God's plan. But if we're not, Father, I pray that not one of us would pass from this life till we made Jesus the Lord of our life. And Father, there's people that are listening by live stream that I can't see them. And so if you're here and you raised your hand, pray this prayer. Mean it with all your heart. It's a one-time thing. Now, if you mess up and you make a mistake, just ask God to forgive you. He doesn't leave you, though. And he'll come in and save you for once and for all. And so everybody say this with me, including that person that raised their hand, or if you're listening by live stream, or maybe you know you should have raised your hand, but you're embarrassed, you can still jump in on this prayer. Raising your hand doesn't get you saved. But everybody go ahead and say this with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible teaching church, get into one. God has good plans for you, good things for you. But we're going to take up communion now in honor of Easter. And I just ask everybody right now to not be talking, to not be fellowshipping. This is a time of reverence and to remember what the Lord has done for you. I'm going to put a song on. And as the elements are passed out, don't partake of them. We're going to read a few scriptures here. Praise God. And then we're going to go ahead and take communion. Oh, you can go ahead and pass out the elements, and then we'll pray. Hallelujah. I'm just going to put a song on. And as you hear this song, I encourage you to think about what the Lord did for you. This is a time to worship him, to give him thanks. Excuse me. When it's over, if you just hit pause, that'd be great. Let's see here. And I want you to remember when Jesus did this for you, is not only so you could go to heaven, but so you could walk in victory. He loves you so much. Praise God.
So faithful, so constant.
Worship him and just thank him for what
so
he's done.
So reverent, so true, so powerful in all you do. You fill me.
Just worship him. Praise your name.
You see me.
Oh, you did it for me. Thank you. Father.
You know my every move. You left for me to sing to you. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness. Says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance for me.'" And so I just invite you now to break the bread and to think of the body of Jesus and what he went through, and go ahead and partake of that. Thank you, Lord, that your body was broken for me so that my body wouldn't have to be broken and that I could walk in divine health. Thank you, Lord. Verse 25, it says, "After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So let's go ahead and let's drink of the cup. Father, I thank you that this juice represents the blood in which you shed for me for the remission of sins. Thank you, Father.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Let's just go ahead and worship him before we dismiss. Father, thank you for what Easter means. Father, you know, we're excited about the bunny and we're excited about the eggs and the candy and the goodies. But Lord, we're more excited that we don't have to go to hell, that we get to accept you and walk in victory on this earth, that you love us so much. Thank you for dying. Thank you for going through what you went through. And thank you for rising from the dead. We give you praise. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You can just pass your cups to the center aisle. The usher will go through and pick those up. Praise God. And as that goes through, everybody stand to your feet. Praise God. After everybody say this with me. Say, I'm going to the other side of my trials. I cannot be defeated. And I will not quit. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed. Have an awesome rest of the week. We'll see you Wednesday. Praise God.
Of wonders to come, the future is in your hands. Go in the light with all the earth we will.